ever-changing world, Off Hollywood Media presents a voice of truth and inspiration, resonating a vibration of love and understanding, illuminating new paths for new directions, as we, as one, strive for higher and higher levels of consciousness, always remembering life changes. And now, your host, our MC, our master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Good evening, everyone. This is so exciting. Actually, our show tonight is exciting for me, and so I trust it's going to be exciting for all of you. I say that because, of course, I'm learning during every show and talking about things that either I know a little bit about or maybe even things that I know a lot about. Tonight, we're talking about certain things that I know nothing about, at least not consciously, that is, and I can't wait to learn from our guest. Some of this stuff is pretty out there, I have to admit. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to beat around the bush about it. I'm going to start, as soon as our guest comes on, I'm going to start right in with some of the stuff that's out there because I want to know what he thinks he knows. It's going to be interesting. Our guest is Adam Apollo, so looking forward to having that conversation with him in just a short while. In the meantime, I want to remind everybody, of course, you're listening to Filippo on Life Changes with Filippo tonight. And I have been thinking about something in particular. I recently was talking to a friend, and she had to get off the phone with me because she works for a big corporation. And she said the bosses, or not the bosses, but the corporate heads, were coming in to their office, their branch office, 2 days from now or something like that. And I said, so why do you have to get off the phone now? She says, because we've got a ton of things to do before they get here. And I said, like what? And she said, like, we have to totally clean all of our desks completely off with paperwork and everything. All has to be in drawers. And she went on and on and saying we actually have to move a certain department. The desks are not up to standard, so we have to turn that around. And we're getting the maintenance people to fix this and this and blah, 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 blah. And she went on and on. I thought, okay, I get it. And what was it that I got? I mean, I got that she was busy, and I got that the corporate heads were coming into the office, but it reminded me of when I used to work for a corporation. As a matter of fact, I worked at the time, I think it was a corporation, top 10 Fortune company in the world. Now it's actually top 15, so it's still pretty high up there. And we used to go through this exercise all the time, too. And though I wasn't Life Changes with Filippo back then, many years ago, I was thinking certain things that you would expect me to think now. And this is what I was thinking. Here we were working at building a business, making money for the corporation, et cetera, et cetera. And it was sanctioned by the branch manager and obviously by the brass above us that was going to come visit that we waste our time for days at a time cleaning up the office, cleaning up our desks for this show of a visit. I used to think... If I were heading this corporation, I would do surprise visits. I wouldn't tell everybody I'm coming into the office 2 weeks beforehand, because if these regulations are there to really have a better working environment or to really have a healthier working environment or to really be there to make more money for the corporation, then I would want to make sure they're being reinforced all the time by the branch managers and by the VPs, etc. And better yet, if I knew that by them cleaning up the office, this would be something that would last for a while, 6 months or a year, because of the changes or the cleaning up, whatever that they did before my visit, then maybe. But what I knew, and I know they knew up at the top brass, because they were once in our position and they were once branch managers, they knew that these changes were purely for show. Because most of what we did was hide stuff under desks, in drawers, in filing cabinets. And we would take all of our time to do that. And then as soon as they would walk through literally for a minute and then go to a meeting or something, well, actually, no. When we knew they were gone for sure, yes, they would walk through only for a minute. But then, so all that work, A, for a minute, and two, then when they had left the office and were in their limousines and going away, we would pull all that stuff out of our drawers and of our cabinets and put them back on the floor and on our desk, because that's how we rolled back then. And what a waste of time. I can't imagine wanting to waste hundreds of employees' time. No, excuse me, let me take that back. Thousands, because they did these all around the world. Thousands of employees' time and tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of man hours to put on a show for the brass, so that they could fool themselves that they are following regulations, whether they be government regulations or their own regulations. It was just a show to pretend. And what we were doing was actually wasting our time when we, with those hundreds of thousands of man hours, could have been making more money. Or if it were really that important, you lay down the law and then do spot checks so that the company could make more money, or the company could be safer. But they were happy with the show. And so I was thinking of this friend of mine who had to go through this exercise, and I thought, are we really still doing this? Are we really still putting on a show for each other and pretending to fool each other that we are doing something? That we are working sometimes. You have to fool your boss that you're working when you have a headache or you're sick, when you're better off just going home or taking care of whatever issue you have. But no, you have to stay at work and pretending that you're working because you have to stay there, you have to be there. All this pretending that we're doing. I don't know that we have time to pretend anymore. There is so much going on the planet. There are so many people suffering. There are so many corporations going under. And yet here in this day and age, this friend of mine was having to pretend that their work environment was different than what the company wanted, only for a 30-second, one-minute walkthrough for the brass, and then to take the time to go back and put it all out again so that they continue business as usual. I'm actually kind of embarrassed about that. As I'm sharing this story, I think for 7.5, 8 years, whatever that was, I did that. However it was, I don't remember if it was monthly or every couple months or even once or twice a year, rather. We did that often. And I never said anything to anybody. Not that anybody would have heard me back then. But I'm saying it now, I'm saying it to you all, and I know we know. And if we know, we could do something about it. And I hope that people that are in corporations won't have to be doing this very much longer. But better yet, those of us who are not in corporations, or wherever we are, we don't have to pretend anything anymore and waste our man hours or our woman hours, our time, our energy on things for show, especially when the show doesn't end up serving anybody, but ends up hurting. And it's a big fat lie. I can't live like that anymore. And I don't think any of us can afford to really anymore. And so I'm happy to be sharing this information, embarrassed about the story, but I hope that I've grown. I know that I've grown from that, and I hope that I can grow even more from having shared it, and proud that I'm sharing this and proud that we're all here together listening to this kind of thing and having our guests on and our producers on talking about these kinds of things so that we could all change together for the betterment of all involved. So started to share a little bit about our guest. And before I introduce him, I want to remind everybody that you are listening to Life Changes on the BBS radio network, and you can learn more about us at www.lifechanges.ws. So our guest this week is a fascinating man. He has a conference coming up here in Denver on the 18th and the 20th, and there are people coming from all over the globe for this really important conference that will have benefits for us all. We will feel it globally if they achieve what we hope that they will achieve. And we'll ask our guests more about that when he comes on in just a moment here. He is Adam Apollo. And listen to this. When I said it's a little out there, this is the part. He is a galactic ambassador. So that is making an assumption or putting it out there boldly that there is something happening out there in the galaxy, and he is an ambassador for conversations or laws or something that's being put forth from there. Adam Apollo is a galactic ambassador and an Earth emissary. Isn't this fascinating? Now, here's another fascinating part. He awoke to a complete library of sacred geometry and metaphysical knowledge at the age of 15. So we'll want to talk to him about that. And spent many years afterwards teaching and integrating this information through developing deep personal, magical, and martial arts practices. In developing ways to translate and share these keys, as well as confirm his own experiences, Adam extensively studied wisdom traditions from around the world, as well as leading research in almost every branch of human study. His resume goes on and on, and we'll talk about that in just a moment, but let's go ahead and bring him on right now. I think this would be the perfect time. Adam, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Filippo. Very honored to be here with you.
Oh, well, we are honored to have you on, and honored that you are an ambassador and an emissary for things that some of us don't even know exist. So I'm looking forward to talking about that. But before we do, I said your resume goes on and on. It's the most unique resume, in fact, that I have ever seen. And I will explain to the audience so that you can then explain to us. Adam not only talks about his past experiences here in the years that since he was born, he talks about his past experiences on his resume in the years before he was born here on Earth. As a matter of fact, if I remember correctly, he goes back to 26,000 years before Christ. And he doesn't just talk about things that happened here on this planet. He talks about his life experiences on other planets. Again, the most unique resume I've ever seen. Tell me, Adam, how do you come to this knowledge, and how can you put this forth so confidently?
Well, to begin with, Filippo, I must say that my own journey in discovering and exploring my own journey has been one of a lot of deep challenges and has only come to its solidity and the state that it's in now in my awareness through lots of testing, lots of confirmation, lots of meeting other people who have the same memories as I do from the same time periods and who remember me, and I remember them from those times.
Wow.
Again, a lot of my past with a very, very scientific outlook. Before I was 15, I could easily have been defined as an atheist, and generally was someone who was looking everywhere for a sense of truth and finding holes all over science, finding holes in religious approaches and dogmas, finding holes everywhere. And I got to this point where I was pretty much fed up with this sort of montage of truth that we're being given by the school systems, by a lot of the fundamental structures and teaching structures that are out there. And I wanted to look in a different direction. And it was actually discovering with a very close friend that I had a human energy field, literally a field of energy around my body that I could not only control but create from, develop, send through space and time, use to, you could say, psychically, or use my sixth sensory perception to detect where certain things were, and actually share that experience. And I began in high school actually sharing the experience of creating a ball of what we could call chi or prana in my hands and sending it around a room or through someone's hands and letting them actually feel the tangible sensation of energy passing through their hands. This was a huge revelation point for me, and it was just one little step in starting to uncover deeper truths about the universe. As far as past lives go, I had absolutely no reference for that, did not believe in reincarnation at all, whatsoever. But then I later on began actually having these experiences where I would meet somebody, I would encounter someone, and after a very short time, we would start having these simultaneous memory recalls of experiences taking place in other times that this person personally and I went through. And those experiences, those memories came with emotional content. They came with physiological sensations and body skills. And I started to realize that I could actually draw on those memories to bring skills from other lifetimes into this lifetime. Wow. And for a long time, I questioned. I was like, I don't even know that that's actually what's happening. So I kept testing it, and I kept testing it. Okay, is this archetypal? Am I getting this from movies I saw? Am I getting this from wherever, parents or stories I heard as a kid? But again and again, and I would get third-party confirmations, you know, wild experiences where one individual remembered, you know, maybe even in a drunken state, he started spouting out memories of things that I had only very directly experienced with one other person, and we had not talked to anybody about it. And he would not, you know, the first time it happened, the gentleman not only was spouting memories, but apologizing for crimes he committed to us and crying and calling us by the names that we had remembered from that lifetime.
Wow.
And,
wow.
And after enough of these experiences, I realized I actually had no foundation to fully doubt the experiences anymore. And so I had to start taking them into account. And once I started taking them into account, I started having many, many more amazing discoveries of many different times. And that worked over many, many years back to a point where eventually I had a memory of being on another planet and choosing to come here with a very specific reason and purpose. And that opened a whole huge door for me. Because I wasn't sure about extraterrestrials either. I was, you know, definitely questioned it. I was familiar with things like the Disclosure Project and groups that are working to really uncover a lot of the sort of secret government knowledge from a whole series of fields about that. But to me, that was all conspiracy theory. It wasn't until I actually had this deep personal experience that I actually started to really validate that information and realize it was really important for my work now.
And you not only talk about experiences as a humanoid, you talk about them as also as a creature, or several different creatures, right? Reptilians,
well,
even.
Most of my memories are humanoid, a very human-like species. I do have a lifetime memory where at one point there was a, this will be interesting to those who have sort of a reptilian interest out there, but there was a lifetime where I was a member of a species, very human-like, that whose planet was basically being taken over by this interesting reptile-like species, and they were using us as slaves to do mining for them. And eventually we escaped these mines and managed to meet up with this whole galactic crew of beings, many of which are actually my friends now in this lifetime, who all remember this series of events. I found many, many of them that were there at that time. And basically we had a technology with the rest of this galactic community at that time that allowed us to literally metamorphosize our bodies into other forms, using what you could call like a holographic projection system, except that it was literally rearranging matter. So sort of like getting inside a big body vehicle that feels like your body completely, as if you were in a virtual reality simulator. And in this case, we actually transformed, a whole series of us transformed into giant dragons, which were actually the god archetypes or the divine creator archetypes or beings of this reptilian species. So it was the only way we could actually scare them enough and freak them out enough just from our presences to get them to stop attacking our people and to leave our planet.
You know, you're scaring me enough here that I wish I had one of those things that I could fly away. Joking. But you know, admittedly, if somebody had talked to you about this kind of thing before your quote-unquote awakening, what would you have said?
I totally would have thought they were crazy, or I'd been like, wow, that's pretty interesting. You must have had some interesting drugs in your time or something. You know? I definitely would have challenged it, you know, to the
okay,
end of the
so
earth.
Absolutely. What could somebody like you today have said to somebody like you then that might have helped them transition into the possibility of what you're saying to be true?
Well, I often invite people to explore sometimes the dreams that they've had that they never understood. They didn't get how it could feel so real and so present in the dream, but that information was there. It was in their subconscious, and they had some kind of experience that they didn't know how to explain. And the beautiful thing about discovering energy and prana and chi is that once you realize that there's something all around you all the time that you can't see unless you develop that vision, and yet it moves things, it changes things, it shapes your life, it's flowing through the trees and the earth and nature and the winds, and it's actually something you can communicate with, that experience is a massively powerful changing experience for people.
Right.
So just feeling something that you can't see is a huge step. Now, there's lots of layers of things we can't see. I mean, we don't necessarily see heat most of the time, but it's visible. It's infrared light. You know, we don't see microwaves when we stick something in the microwave oven, but it's there. Those microwaves are passing through the air. So
just because we don't see exactly what you're sharing with us doesn't mean it's not true. Is that a good analogy?
Exactly. Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Well, you know, ironically, part of what we were here to talk about was the future. I know you talk about that a lot, and it's one of the things you'll be talking about at the conference, which is the road to becoming a galactic species. That's what you're going to be talking about. To whatever that road is on our way to having that discussion, are we going to be seeing or hearing more of these kinds of conversations like you and I are having? Are we going to be hearing more and more of that? Are more people going to be awakening to those kinds of memories or knowings?
You know, it's happening all over the place. I live in sort of what I like to call a ripe hub for those kinds of things. I live in the San Francisco Bay Area, and there's, you know, I traveled for several years. About 3 years I was on the road in my car driving to one city after another and sort of following a path of synchronicity, so to speak, to find people at different events and different things that were going on who had similar experiences to me and who knew something about what what's happening to the planet, what's happening to us as a species. And I found them everywhere, in every single city on this continent, and I know I could find them in every city internationally. There are people everywhere going through these transitions right now. And if you use the internet, you'll find it's a massive resource for at least just some of those people who are starting to share those experiences, which is actually not that many of them. Because a lot of them are still, you know, shy about sharing such things, because they're, you know, they don't want to be perceived in a way that could be detrimental to their work or their career, that doesn't fit in with the status quo, so to speak.
You know, one of my new phrases I like to say is, everybody's in the closet in some area of their life. And when it comes to spirituality or to these kinds of questions, I have a feeling that there'll be a Pride Day for this.
Right.
So we'll all march down the streets and have a parade.
You know, I think they do it. I think it's called the Love Parade. I think it might be a little bit more music and psychedelics oriented, perhaps. But yeah, there's definitely celebration of the unlimited edge of humankind that goes on all over the planet all the time. Burning Man, Boom Festival, Earth Dance. There's so many amazing festivals where people come together and really explore these ideas. So, and I think that's really important right now.
Interesting. And you know, the analogy that came to me after I said that is that, you know, this conversation that we're having, it's kind of like when children are children and, you know, boys and maybe even girls, you hear about how babies are made and you get, that's not true and you're lying and no, and all that stuff. And even if they understood it, they couldn't understand it. But maybe some of us are going through adolescence in this particular aspect of life. And to some of us, this still sounds,
Sure. Well, I think as a species, we're going through a really intense adolescence. And it's an adolescence, I would say, because we've created all of these amazing tools and structures and technologies to get things done and do things, but we're only just now even realizing the effects of some of the things that we're doing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of the shift to an ecological movement or a green movement, some people call it, is sort of like a little bit of a waking up of like, oh, damn, you know, I've been going a little bit too hard in my adolescent phase here, and now I need to actually get my stuff together and realize that when I'm producing this product or I'm creating this thing or doing this with this corporation, that, you know, actually there might be people that are getting hurt from that, and that's something I need to pay attention to, and that maybe there's a way to do things that is more symbiotic with the planet, with the way of life that, you know, other animals and plants and organisms play with, and start looking at the holism of our biosphere and realize we're a part of it. We're a part of this whole planet's biosphere. We're not separate from it.
You know, as children, as children on this planet, adult children, we've been pooping in our sandbox. And
yeah.
Now the poop has gotten so bad, it's hard to play on the sandbox because of the flies and the smell, and there's no place to sit, and every shovel, you get sand and poop, and it's just not fun anymore. And it's time we not only stop, but we clean it up, people.
Yeah, exactly.
And grow up and stop pooping in the sandbox.
Exactly. And, you know, maybe come to realize that this is also not the only sandbox. This is not the only world that beings live in. And we might not be the only consciousness that's out there making things happen, you know, in this local area of the spiral arm of the Milky Way galaxy.
Yes,
you know, that we might start actually taking into account and start questioning, why have people been having these experiences? Why is there such a push from certain organizations and places to deny or to discredit these things. I mean, you can look at a lot of discrediting of crop circles along the same lines as discrediting global warming. Mm. And whether or not you believe in global warming, there's definitely some massive ecological and environmental changes happening on the planet. You know, we can accept
right.
that.
Right.
And whether or not you discredit a crop circle, you know, certainly there are a bunch of crop circles that when you go out there, you know, it's broken wheat, looks stomped down and stuff like that. But when you see one that's like literally half a mile by half a mile with the most intricate geometries that we know that are even known to man, and some of them, you know, haven't ever been drawn or put in any art we've ever seen previously, and they're so perfectly woven that literally you go out there and there's not a single strand of wheat that's broken. They're literally woven back and forth over each other, and there's like one strand of wheat standing up in the middle of one of the circles, you know, inside the geometry, and it's absolutely huge and incredible, and we have no idea how it's created.
Mm.
But that's, you know, that's just a simple example. I mean, honestly, we have no idea how the pyramids could have been built.
You know, keeping the analogy of the sandbox, I see these children how, you know, when we're kids, we can put our hands over our eyes and everybody disappears and
yeah.
and they're not really there. We can ignore them and they don't see us either. Well, that's what we're trying to do, but it didn't work when we were kids, and it's not working anymore. And so I'm looking forward to having a conversation with you, Adam, as soon as we come back here, as to what we have to look forward to in the future, where we can stop pooping in the sandbox and stop hiding our eyes and thinking everything is just going to go away and face what we've got. And actually, according to you, it's not really that bleak. I want to remind everybody that you're listening to Filippo Voltaggio on Life Changes with Filippo here on the BBS Radio Network, where you can hear us every Monday night at 7 p.m. To learn more about us, you go to lifechanges.ws or on Facebook. We have our Life Changes with Filippo Facebook page, and actually all over, from YouTube to Twitter. We're out there. You're out there. Let's connect, and let's bring more of this kind of conversation out into the general public, and let's have more people coming out and speaking up and sharing with those of us who know and those of us who don't some of what is going on. I'm looking forward to carrying this forward more as Life Changes is getting much more popular on radio, and we're having conversations about other places where this is growing, so can't wait to be able to share the good news with all of you about that. So our guest tonight is Adam Apollo, who is all kinds of things, but tonight we're talking to him as a galactic ambassador and an Earth emissary, and he's going to be talking to us now in the second half of our program about the road to becoming a galactic species, and that includes you and me if we choose to stick around. You can hear Adam live, actually, at a conference happening in Denver, Colorado, on the 18th and 20th of this month, June 2010. And to learn more about that, you can go to Noetic Wisdom. That's Noetic Wisdom.com. And to learn more about Adam and learn about his Jedi training intensives, you can go to Adam Apollo. That's Adam and then Apollo, APOLLO, .info, and learn about him and his Jedi training intensive. As a matter of fact, there on the contact page, you can also read the fascinating resume that we talked about earlier in the beginning of the program. So, Adam, the road to becoming a galactic species, I have a feeling like that's going to be a book soon. I know you've got a couple books on the way, but they're not here yet. But the transition of humanity for in terms of technology and spirituality, and we're about to supposedly transform here. Tell us about this stage for us, please.
Well, it's multifaceted, Filippo. There's so many changes that we're already going through right now. If people actually look at where we're at technologically right now as a species, Honestly, most of the things that you'll read that are cutting-edge science right now that you can read about in Scientific American to Discover Magazine or whatever your news source for up-to-date scientific info is, you'll find a lot of it looks like science fiction, which is not really a surprise considering the fact that most of the things we take for granted right now, like the fact that you can carry a phone around in your pocket, access the internet, do video chat with people anywhere in the world from the phone in your pocket, talk right. with anyone anywhere, so on and so forth. Right. That kind of thing was totally science fiction, you know, 20 years ago. The things that we do with the computer are so far beyond what people thought we could do, you know, half a century ago. It blows people's minds. Where we're coming to now is we're talking about, we have technology where we're learning how to slow down light and actually make it stop within certain mediums. We're learning that space...
Adam, I'm sorry. I have to stop you. Did you say slow down light?
That's correct.
Light. Wow.
Yeah.
And stop it.
That's right. Even stop it in some cases. Creating
wow.
literally a standing field of light. Without going in, that's a bit of a technical discussion.
Yeah, let's not go there. I just, as a, I studied physics and sciences, and that is just so out of the paradigm that I was taught. So please go on. It just,
sure.
That stopped me.
Yeah, well, you know, take a look. Go search online in some different, you know, science news groups and stuff, and search for scientists slow down light, and you'll find
wow.
some really
okay.
interesting.
So
that.
Please go on.
You know, some of the other things that are starting to come into play now, a lot of people have a lot of, you know, issues or fear and concerns around things like nanotechnology.
Right.
But that's because it's in a super primitive stage. I mean, just like cleaning products were in a really primitive stage for a long time and were way more toxic than anything else that we might encounter, and we're cleaning all of our surfaces with them. But we're figuring that out, that there's more natural ways to clean. Well, with nanotechnology, we're realizing that, you know, when it's done correctly, which you can do it actually using cymatics or standing sound waves, laser holography, which is like really precise laser triggering of molecules, and even nanorobots, which is sort of the old school approach, and literally send a group of these little nanorobots, a little cloud of them that have little triggers, into a group of molecules and literally change the entire molecular structure of an object into another object. Now, what that really gets down to is the ancient idea of alchemy, where we could change lead into gold. And what this brings about when it's perfected is basically Gene Roddenberry's idea of a replicator. And all the replicator is it's just a way to record some object, some information in space-time. You record it once, say it's the best cappuccino you ever had, and you can duplicate that cappuccino using just raw energy and molecules of a variety of types and literally duplicate that exact same cappuccino as many times as you want.
Wow.
Now, what that does, imagine what that would do for the economic system. All of a sudden, you have the capacity to duplicate anything as many times as you need to or want to. Well, that certainly changes ideas around the value of objects. What's the value of gold if you can make enough of it? You know, what's the value of anything besides the quality of the object that was originally recorded? So then it becomes not about the fact that you can have a tomato, because anybody anywhere can have a tomato once this technology is perfected, because you're just sending information to that spot, and there's the replicator, and bam, there's the tomato. It's not about the tomato. It's about who grew that original tomato, who's spending the time and the art of mastering that wonderfully delicious, homegrown, organic tomato and recorded it in to share with the rest of the world.
Wow.
And in Star Trek, Gene Roddenberry's vision, that's what changed all of humanity from being an economic-based structural species to basically being an art-based or responsibility-based structural species. So So you don't work for money. You don't become a captain of a starship for money. You don't do any of those things for money, because why do you need money? You have a place to live. You can have any food that you want. You can have any technologies that you need. So that's not the point anymore. The point is, what do you want to do to better yourself? What is the gift that you can offer to other beings out there? And just to lay it out really flatly, that's the foundation of this galactic community that surrounds the planet right now. That's all over the place. They have the most massive library of space-time information and objects you can possibly imagine. And so they have no need for monetary exchange and the sort of conflicts that arise and hierarchies that arise from that. The change is that beings step forward and become better beings or take more responsibility or have higher roles based on what they're willing to take account for. What are they willing to be responsible for and work for in their lives for the betterment of all of the other species? Now, wow. The other crucial component to that technology, of course, we are already seeing spread like wildfire around the planet, and that is the open source movement. And the open source movement is this idea that actually, if we just share freely the information that we have, the way that we can accelerate our development and better ourselves increases so dramatically, it's mind-boggling. And, you know, there's plenty of economic opportunities right now for open source projects.
Right.
But you're literally talking about thousands of people suddenly all collaborating, creating something. Why? Because they love to. Because it's creating something better for everyone. And that approach is really a fundamental way of thinking and state of consciousness that really starts to drive us towards what it would look like to be an interplanetary community.
What a
part of this
paradigm shift.
Mm-hmm.
What a paradigm shift. I bet you're real popular at corporate parties.
I used to be when I worked for Bridgestone Firestone for a few years. Yeah, I definitely definitely had some fun playing with the corporate brass, as you say.
Basically telling them they're out of a job and they're doing it all wrong and they're going to be obsolete here real shortly. I'm sure they don't take it as a threat because it just must be so foreign. It's got to be la la land. I think they're probably surprised you're in San Francisco and not in Hollywood. But you know, I'll have to say that our listeners are lighting up the phones with text messages and all that kind of thing. And I've got everything from yay free lattes for everybody or perfect lattes. And to more of a practical application, does that mean with the technology that you've talked about that technically the Gulf oil spill, which is something that the world is experiencing right now, could be cleaned up pretty much instantaneously?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, you know, there's a restoration process, let's just say, that we've already entered into and that lots of people are dedicated to right now, which is restoring biospheres. The work of Paul Stamets with Mycelium Running and his other books talk a lot about that, using fungus, using mushrooms actually to help restore healthy biospheres. One of the big projects that's cleaning up that oil spill right now is there's huge armies of people that are coming together and growing tons of oyster mushrooms and inoculating them inside of hay and things like that, and then spreading those along the beaches, because oyster mushrooms will literally eat that oil and turn it into carbohydrates, hydrocarbons to carbohydrates. So, you know, the natural process of the planet has always been to transmute elements and things from one thing to another. But as with everything that is part of our sort of living gift as a species, we humans, we like to discover that we can do something on the inside and then think about how we can externalize that ability. How can I do the same alchemy I do in my stomach of processing food and turning it into energy and actually do that for objects outside of me and change objects into energy and energy into objects?
Mm. Yeah, actually, you know, in theory, that sounds fascinating and an interesting experiment. Of course, in our current reality and the way we see things. You know, we see animals suffering and economies suffering and people suffering, and that's hard to swallow right now. But you give us hope, and for those of us who believe or want to believe in what you have to share, what you've been sharing, it's quite exciting. So as an ambassador, as a galactic ambassador and an Earth emissary, is that your message, or can you encapsulate it for us again here as we come to a close?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, these are just fractions of my message, really. Which the message is that we are, as a species now on this planet, undergoing the greatest transition and transformation that has ever happened on Earth. And as we go through this transformation and emerge from this chrysalis of change and growth, we're going to become something that we have no idea what it might look like. We're just getting glimpses of it. And if you reach out and you connect with some of the beings out there that have already gone through this process, that are already traveling between planets faster than light using gravitational systems to basically, you know, warp space-time and create a bubble around their objects so they can slipstream through the fabric, you start to get a little bit of a picture of what it's going to look like for us to be a butterfly. But truly, you know, the worm that's just crawling along and compulsively eating leaf after leaf after leaf to develop this chrysalis around its body really has no idea what that experience is going to be like to come out on the other side. But my offering to you, and there's, you know, many other components to this, and I invite you to come to the conference and hear my full presentation or come to some of my workshops. But what it looks like is something so beautiful. It's going from people that are so stuck on what's theirs, what did they own, their space, their land, their house, their thing, and opening that door up so big where you have unlimited abundance. You can travel to many, many different planetary systems and live anywhere you want to. You can engage with species far, far more diverse than what we even experience with the plants and animals here on Earth, and start to look at what it might be like to live your life if you are truly dedicated to living and expressing your highest art of who you are, the best gift, giving your gift, the deepest, most precious gift inside of you, to everyone else in your lives, instead of just trying to sustain yourself with money just so you can buy the next meal or pay your rent every month. Just think about what that might be like, and you start getting a glimpse of where we're going.
You know, Adam, it's interviews like this that can't wait till the show is 2 hours, or in this particular case, 10. and that wouldn't even cover it. Thank you so much for sharing your message. The conference that Adam is alluding to is the Conference on Earth's Future, happening in Denver, Colorado, on the 18th through the 20th of June here this year, 2010. And to learn more about that, you can go to noeticwisdom.com. And Adam can be found and reached at adamapollo, A-P-O-L-L-O, .info. To learn more about him and his Jedi training intensives. And I'm sure when his books come out, he'll be letting us know, and hopefully we can have him on the show again so we can get that information out there. Adam, this has been absolutely fascinating. You're doing some interesting work, to say the least, and I can't wait to see your prophecies or your knowings or the information that you bring to come true. So thank you so much, Adam, for being on the show with us today.
It's an honor, Filippo. Thank you so much for the invitation.
Thank you again. Look forward to connect soon. That was Adam Apollo. Again, adamapollo.info for more information. And now we have, as How to Be the Change, Dorothy Lee Donahue's tools. And here's Dorothy Lee Donahue.
Hi. Thank you, Adam. I want to send out a great big thank you to all of our energetic alchemy students. We always have such a great time, and we had an especially wonderful time this past weekend. I've taught this course all over the world, and it's always so much fun for me and for our students. I continuously say that it can't possibly get any better, but it does. The veils are getting thinner and thinner, and so the students are receiving more and more information. This past weekend, the downloads were intense, and I understand from the students that they're continuing to receive them. This weekend was remarkable, as Filippo and I watched the amazing transformations take place that always occur in our classes. We had several students come in and tell us that they can't feel, and they can't see, and they can't hear like their other healer friends, and like Filippo and I can. And once again, they discovered that they can hear, feel, and see, and do so much more. In fact, they were scanning and healing one another before the lunch break on Saturday. My heart is filled to overflowing with their unconditional love that poured through the hearts of everyone in our class this weekend to each of us. I can still feel and see the smiles on each of their faces as they tuned into their power and as they remembered that they are the ones they've been waiting for. We're so programmed to believe that the love and happiness we're looking for and deserve lie outside of ourselves. And this is simply not true. Once we discover that we are the gurus we've been waiting for and that we are the lovers we've been looking for, we can begin to co-create the kind of life we deserve. Marianne Williamson said it best in her book, A Return to Love. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine, as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It is not just in some of us, it is in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. And this is exactly what happens in our energetic alchemy classes. In fact, this is what happens within all of our students and all of our clients, because this is what it's all about, and this is what Life Changes is about, helping you remember who you are. Although Filippo and I are really good at what we do, our classes aren't about who and what we are. These classes are for you and about what you have come here to be. We are only here as your guides, and we're simply here to help you remember what you already know. We're here to help you embrace your magnificence and to assist you to realize and remember that you are indeed masters who have simply chosen to have a very human experience. And this requires that you pass through the veil of forgetfulness. As humans, we have been taught to believe in everyone but ourselves. And it's time to forget that and to take back our power and remember to believe in ourselves. There may be days when you get up in the morning and things aren't the way you'd hoped they would be. And that's when you have to remember that you are indeed the power in your world and tell yourself that things will get better. And there will be times when the people you love will disappoint you and let you down. And those are the times when you must choose to remind yourself to trust your own judgments and opinions and to keep your life focused on believing in you. There will be challenges to face and changes to make in your life, and it is up to you to accept them. And this becomes easier and easier to do once you remember that you are the power in your world. Energetic alchemy assists you in becoming consciously aware of your power. And you can then use it to constantly keep yourself headed in the right direction. It may not be easy all of the time, but in those times of struggle, you will find a stronger sense of who you are. So when the days come that are filled with frustration and unexpected responsibilities, just remember to believe in you and all you want your life to be. Because the challenges and the inevitable changes will only help you to find your true strength. My favorite part of this last Energetic Alchemy course was at the very end. Filippo and I had the students work on each of us, and the woman who had been adamant at the beginning that she couldn't feel, see, or heal, and she was certain that she couldn't manipulate energy in any helpful way whatsoever, spoke up and asked the class, "Can you tell any difference in Dorothy's voice?" When they all said yes, she smiled so big and acknowledged that she had removed the blockages that had been there all weekend. She realized she had co-created a miracle of healing on her teacher, me. I trust that you can imagine how happy that makes me. So if you haven't joined us for one of our life-changing Energetic Alchemy weekends, please do so. You can go to energeticalchemy.com and you'll see when our next class is. We look forward to assisting you in taking back your power from all you've given it to. Until next week, please remember that you are the power in your world. You are the guru you have been waiting and looking for. You're the only one who can end your suffering. And you can only do this by beginning a love affair with yourself. Choose to become a very conscious co-creator by making elegant choices. And never forget that you are powerful beyond measure and that you are love, you are lovable, and you are loved.
Thank you for that, Dorothy Lee Donahue, for the How to Be the Change or Tools for Change with Dorothy Lee, something like that. We'll figure it out. Still working on some titles. Some of you sent us some that we are actually considering, so if you want to send other titles for that segment, we'll consider those as well. In the meantime, the segment is powerful as it stands and doesn't even need a title. All we just have to say is Dorothy Lee Donahue. And today, we said a lot, and we thank our guest once again, Adam Apollo, for being on the show. And we look forward to you hearing the show again and sharing it with your friends, and which you could do by going to our lifechanges.ws website, and whenever in about a week or so, hopefully less, that gets up on the website, you can forward it, listen to it again, or share it, however, whatever you'd like, because it's there for us to use, grow from, and learn from. Remember, keep the conversation going with all of your friends and peers and family as much as you can, and with us as well by visiting us at lifechanges.ws and on our Facebook page and Twitter and YouTube and join the party. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles. To learn more about them, visit our sponsor page on our website and click on their links. I am Filippo Voltaggio, and it has been my pleasure being of service by hosting Life Changes with Filippo tonight. I, along with our segment hosts and producers, Dorothy Lee Donahue and Mark Lejeune, and our engineer, Seth Hendrick, thank you for joining us and being part of this show and being part of the change we all wish to see in the world. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes. Join us here every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and visit us on the web at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. And follow our community on Facebook at Life Changes with Filippo. Join us here next week as we consciously embrace and explore the only constant, life changes.